I hope as we've gone through this book that you get the theme that John's trying to get through to us, that the idea that we can know whom we have believed, and that we can know our faith is and what it's based on, and that Christ truly did die for us, and we have eternal life in Him. And in chapter 5, he's going to continue those thoughts, and really as we bring this whole lesson to a close, or the series that we started a month or so ago, I hope your faith will be built up, and that you can have the confidence that we can have only in the Lord. Look with me here in 1 John chapter 5, and look at the very beginning of this section, beginning in verse 13. And if you remember from a few weeks ago, verse 13 is really the theme verse of this book. As he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that this is the confidence we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request that we have asked of Him." Now, you start this idea of knowledge, and that John gives us the idea that our faith is based upon knowledge, not just our feelings. Often we feel different ways, even about different people. We have friendships that we feel good about. But sometimes we have friendships we don't feel so good about. We may know that we have a good friend there, but maybe things aren't going so smooth. Our feelings go up and down. But John wants you to base your faith in Christ not just on your feelings, but on your knowledge, that you can understand and know these things. And by knowing them, even when things aren't going so smooth in your life, you can turn back and know what you believe and know what your faith is, that it's on a solid rock, and that this should give you confidence. And it's that confidence that we can go to God then in prayer. You think about when you pray to God, if you don't have confidence, and if you pray to God, if you do have confidence. And that's what I want you to think about with me, that we pray in confidence because we know that God hears us. And we pray in confidence. There's no virtue in having doubts. There's no virtue in this idea of, I don't know if God hears, I hope He does, or I don't know that I'm saved, I hope I am. There's no virtue in that. The virtue comes in our confidence that we can know whom we believe, and we know that He hears us whenever we go to Him in prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest blessings that it's ever given to us. And it comes because of our confidence we have in the Lord. I got a few passages that Paul brings to us. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about the great work that God has done through Christ. And he goes back and says, even before the creation of the world, God knew Christ and He worked and was working His plan and His purpose. And now that plan and purpose is made complete in us. And because of that, that should give us confidence. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. And if you look at verse 11, it says, "This is according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus." That's God. His eternal purpose He's realized in the gospel that He's made known now through the church. And it's through the church that this gospel is made known to the world. And that's us. We are His church, His people. And he says, "In Him we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him." We can be bold and have confidence when we come before God, because God has made this plan that He started off before the creation of the world. He's now completed it through us. That should give us confidence. If God went through all the trouble to create the universe, all the trouble then to love us so much that He gave us Jesus, and now He's working that plan in completion through us, we should be confident. We are part of God's eternal plan. And that should give us confidence and even boldness when we go to Him in prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul also refers to the boldness we can have and the confidence that we can have. Here in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, he refers to the way that God has worked His message through the church there at Corinth. And listen what he says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Where does the strength come from? It comes from God through Christ to us. And that should give us confidence. And that gives us the idea that we can go to God in prayer and that we know that He hears us when we pray according to His will. In the Gospel of John, the last time Jesus was with His disciples, He prays, "If you ask anything in My name, I will hear you." Here He says, "If we ask anything according to His will." And so often our prayers aren't according to the will of God. Too often we pray for the things of this world, and we don't pray for the spiritual. The things of the world, they pass away. The whole book of 1 John has been talking about that this world will pass away. It ends in death. But we can have life. And we need to be praying for that life, not praying for the things that pass away. Now, we can pray, and He said we can have confidence whatever we pray for. But our prayers need to reflect the spiritual much more than they do. Think about the fruits of the Spirit. When we pray, do we pray for the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22, Paul lists these things. He says we should be praying for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what we should be praying for. These are the things that strengthen us. These are the things that bring us eternal life. Not the things of this world, which so often our prayers are centered around the reality of our day-to-day lives. And it's good to bring those to the Lord, but not just that. We should be also praying for the spiritual. Look with me again to Ephesians. And look at one of the great prayers of Paul. The book of Ephesians has many prayers in it. And so often we go over these prayers too quickly, but listen what Paul prays for. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11, or verse 15. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I did not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge, and having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you were called." Paul prays for their knowledge in the Lord. He prays that your faith can go stronger. He prays for their spirit and their spiritual needs. And too often, we let our prayers just end with the physical, and we don't go to the spiritual. We need to be praying for the physical, and that's the next part. And the closing part of here in the book of John, listen what he talks about praying for. He talks about the real priorities in our prayers in the next section, where he says, "If anyone sees a brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he should ask the Lord to give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death." What's he saying? He said we should be praying for each other, especially when we see each other caught in a sin. Now, he talks about the sin unto death, and what he really talks about throughout the book is any sin that you allow to stay in your life will lead you to death. And he says, I'm not praying about that. I'm praying for that people can turn from any sin, and you can be you can repent of any sin and turn back to the life. And he says, now, when we pray for each other, we may not always know if somebody's going to repent and come back. God's not going to override your own will. You have free will. But we can pray and strengthen each other and lead each other back. And that's what he's talking about. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 22. And we have an example of Jesus himself praying for the disciples. In Luke 22, we have an example of him praying for a particular disciple, that is, Peter. In Luke 22, we're at the Last Supper. Jesus is only a few hours from going to the cross, and he warns his disciples. And in warning them, he warns them of what's to come. And listen what he says to Peter in verse 31. He first starts off, "Simon, Simon." Now, when you read that, you kind of get a warning, because usually Jesus refers to Peter as Peter. But now he goes back and refers to Peter by his, what we might call his given name, and that was Simon. Jesus had changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter. Peter means rock, and truly Simon was going to be the rock that the apostles and the whole church would depend on. He would be a dependable apostle through the church. But at this part, Jesus is reminding him that he's not going to be that. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Jesus is telling Simon that he knows that when everything happens, he's going to fall away. He's going to deny Christ. But Jesus doesn't stop his prayer there. He says, "I pray that when you turn back again, you can strengthen your brothers." Jesus knows that Simon's faith will hold and he will come back. We need to pray prayers like that for each other. Pray for each other just as Jesus prayed for Peter. And we need to also remember that if one like Peter could deny Christ, any one of us can get caught in a sin. In Galatians 6, Paul talks about you who are spiritual, go to restore those who are not spiritual. But remember that you too can get caught up in a sin. Now you think about Peter's life. He was a rock, but here he was denying Christ. Later on in the book of Galatians, we learn that Peter actually withholds his fellowship. And Paul goes and rebukes Peter and brings him back again. Now, if one like Peter, that had been with Christ for 3 years and was known as the rock, he could sin. Even one of us can get caught in a sin. We've looked before at King David, a man after God's own heart, a man that God would make a covenant. And he said, "David, through your descendants will come the Christ. He will be one. I'll make this covenant with you." This was David, a man after God's own heart. Yet he could sin, commit adultery, even murder. Any one of us can get caught in a sin. That's why we need to be praying for each other. And especially as we look around and we know that a brother or sister may not be living like they should, we need to be praying, and in Galatians even going and seeing that person. We need to remember that any one of us can get caught in a sin. Through the book of 1 John, he gives us the confidence that we can come to God in prayer for ourselves and for each other. And one of the ideas he has in this book that he runs through the whole book is that you're part of God's family, that God is in you, and that because God is in you, you're actually in God. And he also talks the Word of God lives in you. He talks about the Spirit is in you. And he talks about in the last week's lesson, remember, that the Son is in you. Now, if you have the Son, if you have the Spirit, if you have the Father, all in you and you in them, then you're part of God's family. And listen to the next part that he talks about as being part of God's family. Listen to what he says, beginning in verse 18. He says, "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." We need to remember that the devil is strong. Referred to in the Bible, often even by Jesus, and we're going to see in just a minute, as the evil one. John refers to Satan 4 times in this short little book as the evil one, to keep ourselves from the evil one. But we have one to watch over us. When I was growing up, I have two brothers, one older and one younger than I am. My older brother Joe has been here a few times, and some of you have met him. He's a little bit larger than I am. He's about 2-3 inches taller now. And he also weighs, 30, 40 pounds more than I do. He's also a lot stronger than I am. When we were in high school, he lettered in the shot put and the discus because he was strong. In fact, just last month, he was in the Senior Olympics and still won the shot put and the discus in the Senior Olympics. So he's kept his strength up over the years. When we were growing up as kids, he was about a head taller than I am and weighed quite a bit more. He's 2 years older and quite a bit larger than I am. And I can remember as kids, sometimes we run around with a group of kids, and one time we were going to play baseball, and we had a whole big group of kids, and the older kids were up front, and the younger kids, and I was one of the younger kids, were in the back. And one kid started picking on me, and we started getting in a little scuffle, and my brother Joe turned around and says, "What's going on back there?" And this kid says, "Well, I'm just picking on this little kid." And Joe said, "Well, that little kid's my brother." And Joe was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, you know, quite a bit bigger than this kid, and outweighed him and a lot stronger. And the kid said, okay. And he just, you know, it's good sometimes to have a bigger brother. Now, sometimes Joe would pick on me, and that's not so good. But when you have a bigger brother, he can watch over you. Notice what John is telling us in this little passage here. He says, you who have been born of God. Now, that's present tense. You who have been born. In other words, that's us. But the next part, listen to what he says. He says, but he who was born of God. Now, that's the only begotten of God. What he's saying is, you're part of God's family because you've been born of God. Throughout this whole book, he's tried to bring you into that. That God, you and God, and God's in you, you're part of the family of God. But he doesn't end us there. He said, but you've got a big brother. He's the only begotten of God. He's the Christ. And he is going to watch over you. Now, is that not a special thought? It's good to have a big brother in this world. And sometimes we need somebody to defend us. John is telling you, you've got somebody that's going to watch over you. Jesus Christ himself is going to watch over you and keep you from sin. Now, he starts this off by saying, if you're a child of God, you don't sin. You keep yourself from sin. We don't walk in sin anymore. He's not saying we never sin. He said that earlier on in the book, that any one of us, we do make mistakes, we do sin. But we don't continue in sin. We don't walk in that way anymore. A Christian does not continue in sin. We walk in the light. We make mistakes. The evil one is all around us, and Satan's always there. But we need to remember that we have someone to guard us. Jesus Christ himself will watch over us as our guardian, as the one to keep us, and the one to keep us on that path, and to protect us from the evil one. Look over to John chapter 17. We really read the end of this part, but look at this great prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples right before he went to the cross. And listen to what Jesus says on the way that he would guard the disciples themselves. In chapter 17 of John, beginning in verse 12, Jesus says, while I was with them, he's talking about the 12 apostles, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. Not one of them has been lost except the one of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And that's what John is saying. Now we have one to keep us from the evil one, even Christ himself. The only begotten of God will watch over us and guard us and protect us even from the evil one. Now, the next two verses, I think, are very special as the way that John ends this book. Listen to what he says about the peace that we have in Christ. It says, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus, the Son, Jesus Christ. We know, we have this knowledge. And in this knowledge, we can have the peace and the confidence. That's the whole book of 1 John is written to give us that. To give us the peace and confidence that can come only from our knowledge that Christ is in us. He's guarding and watching over us. And we are children of God. And that means Christ is our big brother. And we need to think of it that way. That we have somebody to watch over us and to protect us. And that should give us a confidence and peace that comes from nowhere else. It doesn't come from anything in this world. It comes only from God through Christ to each one of us. Now look at the very last part of this book. The very last sentence. Sometimes when you read it, it almost seems like it's out of place. He says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Why does he add that little bit at the very end? Well, if you think about what he's talking about with idols, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul lists a lot of the great sins that each one of us have to watch ourselves. But he ends it, he says, keep yourself from greed, which is idolatry. Now, why would he refer to as greed as being idolatry? Greed is a lust of the things of this world. What John is saying is that don't let anything in this world become your God. Because if you do, that's like worshiping an idol. That becomes an idol to you. Don't let anything in this world, and it's so easy. The cares of this world are always around us. The cares of this world, if we're not careful, they can lead us away from God. Whether or not it's the love of money, whether or not it's the praise of men, whether or not it's the things we have, whatever it is, this world, if we love the things of this world, they become an idol to us. And John says, be aware of this danger. It's always going to be there. If you remember back in chapter 2 of this book, you remember what John says to us? He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've got to guard ourselves. The things of this world are always there. And we need to guard ourselves against them. It's like guarding ourselves against the evil one. Satan is going to tempt you. And the things of this world are going to tempt you. And you've got to guard yourself from the love of this world. And remember that this world passes away. This world leads to death. The wages of sin is death. You can remain in this world and the destruction and the death of this world, or you can walk in the light and have eternal light in God. That's the two ideas that John gives us. If you love God, if you love your neighbor, then John says you've crossed over from death to life. You've left this world, so to speak, to live in His kingdom of light. And that's what John wants for each one of us. As we conclude this book, think of four things with me. One, the confidence we can have in the knowledge of what Jesus has done for us and what God has done through Jesus. That confidence should give foundation to our faith. Our faith is not based on some leap of faith or a blind faith, as some people say. It's based on the knowledge of the very testimony of God, as John outlined for us, and we looked at 2 weeks ago. The testimony of God is what we base our faith on. And that's what we base our lives on. It gives us confidence. And that confidence allows us to go to God in prayer, knowing that He hears our prayers. And He hears our prayers because we're His children. We're the very children of God, and Jesus is really our brother. He's our big brother in the Lord. And that should give us peace, and it should give us assurance, and it should help us through our daily lives. Not the way the peace of the world, but the peace that can come only through Christ. And this can also help us to understand there is danger ahead. And John warns us of that. That's why he keeps warning us about the evil one. And he keeps warning us, be careful, don't go back into the world. The dangers of the world are there, and we need to keep ourselves from that. This morning, think about your life, and does it reflect the confidence that John wants you to have? Are you truly a child of God? Are you part of Christ? Is He in you? Have you been baptized into His death so that you can die to this world and arise and walk for all eternity with Him? Or if you've started that walk with Him, but you haven't been faithful to it, why not come back to Him this morning? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.